Welcome to Western Veterinary Perspectives. This podcast, produced by the Western Canadian Animal Health Network, is intended to share information about animal health and infectious disease risks with veterinarians and producers in Western Canada. Given the current concerns regarding bird flu or avian influenza worldwide and at home here in Canada, today I'll be speaking with Dr. Gigi Lin to review some simple steps that anyone who's raising poultry can put into place to protect their flocks from disease. Dr. Lin is a poultry veterinarian who works with Canadian Poultry Consultants, and she provides care and consultations for many small flock poultry producers across the country. Whether you have 5 chickens in your backyard or 200 turkeys on a farm, these tips and simple steps to protect your birds will be helpful now and in the future. Thanks for joining me, Dr. Lin.
Thank you very much, Dr. Todd, for inviting me to talk about biosecurity in small flock today.
Dr. Lin, I'd like to have you talk us through basically the simplest steps that a poultry caregiver or a producer can take to implement some biosecurity, regardless of their setup. Many people with small flocks have a pretty simple, although sometimes more extravagant, wooden coop in their backyard. Could you walk us through the top steps that we could put in place in these types of coops to help decrease the risk of avian influenza?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's so much to cover with biosecurity, and I think I can talk about that topic for hours. But for the interest of time, we can focus on some of the important points that I see would be very helpful, especially seeing all the cases from my day-to-day practice.
Perfect. Let's start at the gate then to the yard, shall we?
Sounds good. I think one of the most important thing that I always tell growers, no matter, you know, you're a small flock or a commercial flock, I tell them that you are the police for your flock. So you're the one that who made the decision, and your attitude really helps to decide the biosecurity level and who is allowed to visit the flock. So the first thing that at the gates, like of the yard, so having signage telling people that biosecurity is very important here on this premise, it's very important. So these signage should be visible from the road. So right away, any visitors, any people coming in, they know that biosecurity is being practiced regularly on this premise. And one of the common thing that I encourage growers, owners from small flock to ask questions. It is okay to ask questions, particularly the ones that are poultry, avian contact related history, so that you can identify high risk visitors. For example, people that who own their own birds, who work with avian species, people that who has recently been to high risk zone, for example, a poultry show, a zoo, or feed store or live auctions. Those are the people that you might want to consider to have a conversation with them and not allowing them to come to the farm or come to visit your coop temporarily. And again, like, be prepared to say no. Another very important thing is to have a visitor log. That is something that I do see missing in many of the small flock. Even if they're just, you know, your neighbors or, you know, your friends like from next door, having a visitor log is very important, especially during a disease outbreak. Then you can trace back and have an efficient communication to where the flock goes or who has like come visit to the flock recently, so they can act on it right away to mitigate that spread of the disease potentially.
And how about at the entrance to the coop or to the bird-specific section of a yard? Are things like foot baths helpful to have in place here?
In terms of foot baths, I generally do not recommend using foot baths because they're really difficult to maintain. They can be easily contaminated by organic matters and therefore can compromise the disinfection properties. So instead of having foot bath, what I would recommend is to have designated footwear for the coop or for the yard area. These should be footwear that are very easy to clean. For example, rubber boots, they're inexpensive, they're non-slippery. Other options would be disposable foot coverings. For example, these plastic booties that we can get from homeware stores. They are very useful for visitors or for temporary use for quarantine area. In addition to footwear, it's also very important to wear protective clothing as well that are designated for the coop for a particular flock, because other than
our footwear, our bodies, like clothing, hair, can also have the tendency to carry pathogens into a flock.
And how about design changes? Is there anything specific that we can do to make our bird coops or the bird area of the yard safer in general for our poultry?
So when we're talking about the design of the coop, the design of the area, the most important thing is how to contain the flock, that to minimize their contact from the outside area. So this including visitors, people, human activity, wildlife, resident birds, rodents, and also other small mammals that can potentially bring diseases into a flock. So it's very important. First thing that I would recommend is make sure you set up a proper physical barriers, have nettings, wires, gates, and make sure you inspect them regularly, particularly rodents and small mammals that are really good at digging underneath and also causing like damages on netting and wires. And making the environment not welcoming to these unwelcome visitors, it's another crucial point to consider. So think about all the feed, water, resting spaces that will attract them. For example, do not like feed wild birds, and make sure you store feed in a sealed container, ideally under lock, like conditioned. Water sources is another one that tend to attract a lot of wildlife. So fill up your water paddles. Do not have open water sitting around in the field. Those would be very helpful. Another common practice that I would recommend growers to do would be to trim and maintain tree branches regularly. So these are the area that wild birds can perch. They can drop fecal droppings into the flock, and also feathers that are potentially contaminated.
If you've got a small backyard flock, what would be the most successful way to make a quarantine area for your birds?
So the area that I use for quarantine a flock or a bird, a new entering birds, this would be an area that should be as far away as possible from the existing flock. And that is also very important to keep in mind environmental conditions. For example, water table that can potentially bring contaminated water from one area to another area within the same premise. Wind direction, particularly many pathogens that can be potentially airborne, transmitted by dust particles. So having a space that they do not share the same air would be very, very helpful. I have scenarios where a client will show me pictures of their quarantine area, but they actually have wire fences that were the quarantine birds like do have contact with the existing birds like through the fences. So that wouldn't consider a proper quarantine area. So they shouldn't be sharing the same air. The area that they use to quarantine the birds should be washable, easy. The surfaces should be waterproof, should be easy to clean and disinfect. Depending on what individual setup is, it can be as simple as a garage that is separated in a different area, or storage shed. I also have clients that where they use like the large size dog crates to use as their quarantine area that is far away on the other side of their premise compared to their flock. And it's very important to remember that when you're quarantining a flock, it's not only the geographical area, the physical area that they are in, but also consider things that you're physically bringing in into the flock. So it's very important to have separate personal protective equipment, separate feed and water sources, and also separate equipment for that particular quarantine flock, and do not share those tools with other flocks.
If we notice that there's a sick bird in the main flock, when do we move it into the quarantine area?
So in terms of when to move a sick bird into a quarantine area, or some clients might have a hospitalization area, it should be moved as soon as the first clinical signs is noticed. So this is why it's crucial that we pay attention to our flock regularly. So I would recommend for growers who, particularly those clients that who has a bigger flock size, to regularly monitor their feed and water intake. Another sign that it's very helpful is to monitor their egg production. Oftentimes, this would be the first signs that you'll notice when a bird is infected with certain diseases. Respiratory symptoms, for example, eye, nasal discharges, coughing, sneezing, and those are some common signs to watch for. So as soon as you notice any of these abnormal signs, I would take out that sick bird right away, pretty much, and have a quarantine area ready. So this quarantine area can be a very similar setup as I discussed in the last questions. So quarantine area for new birds, but make sure that quarantine area doesn't already have some existing birds.
I know often that kids help to feed chickens and visit poultry sometimes multiple times in a day. Do you have any suggestions as to how we can manage things like personal protective equipment and biosecurity when there's kids involved in raising poultry?
This is a great question, and it's a very important question because lots of small flock keepers, they do have kids and they do have young children that help out, and it's a very important opportunity for them to learn about taking care of animals and also where their food comes from. I think part of it, the education part, is very important. Kids generally learn from adults. So the first thing would be to explain to little kids like how important biosecurity is and what exactly it is and what the goal is to protect. Basically, mainly explain to them these are important protocols. We make sure that chickens doesn't get sick. So having a separate set of personal protective equipment that fits them, I think that would be very helpful in most scenario. And also encourage them to wash hands in between visiting flock and changing footwears.
I wondered too if you could maybe give us some pointers as to when, how, and how often a poultry coop should be cleaned out. Are there any specific products that you recommend using? And where should someone put the birds that are in the coop when they're trying to clean the coop out?
So in terms of how often should a poultry coop be cleaned out, there's really not a definitive answer because it depends on the case, depends on what kind of poultry are you keeping, how often are you bringing in new birds, and your disease history too. But it's very important to keep in mind that every time after a disease outbreak, of course, like cleaning and disinfection steps should be carried out as soon as possible. And in terms of what products should be used, instead of talking about different products, because there are actually a lot of different detergent and also disinfecting products available on the market, I want to emphasize on the cleaning and disinfection steps instead, because there's a lot of misconception about the proper cleaning and disinfection protocol. It's very important that the first steps should be cleaning out all the organic matters. So these would be the feathers, the manure, and also the droppings, the fecal droppings. Using soap and pressure wash or dry cleaning can be very useful. I have seen cases where you will walk into a barn and cleaning and disinfection has been done. However, you'll still see fecal matters or feathers on different kind of surfaces. So when there are organic matters on the surfaces, it's not a proper cleaning and disinfection protocol because these organic matters can deactivate disinfectant and it's not going to work as well. The other thing that is very important to keep in mind is the drying process. So make sure that after the organic matter has been cleaned out, after you do your pressure wash, allow some time for that facility to be completely dry off before you apply any disinfectant. Otherwise, you're just diluting your disinfectants. A second point, it's no matter which disinfectant class you're choosing, make sure that you follow the label instruction and also the safety protocols. You have to make sure you're mixing at the right concentration according to the label and have enough contact time. Otherwise, the disinfectant will not work at its full extent. And when you're cleaning and disinfecting the coop, don't forget about all the areas that often will get missed. For example, the walls. Like, I have seen cases where you walk into the barn and you can still see blood and feather left sticking on the wall. Water drinkers, particularly nipple drinkers. Water sanitation is another important part in your cleaning and disinfection. And make sure to do a dry clean in the ventilation system as well, where dust and feathers can be accumulated. In terms of where you can put the birds temporarily while you are doing the cleaning and disinfection, we can go back to the question where we talk about quarantine area. So if this area is not being used temporarily, you can keep the birds there for a period of time.
And also along the lines of cleaning, I guess, I wondered if there's anything specifically that should be done when a producer is handling or disposing of either dead birds, because we do know when we've got livestock, we're going to have some dead stock occasionally, and just in general, poultry manure and shavings and the stuff that we're taking out of the coop.
With general disposal, no matter if it's dead birds or manures or shavings, they should be placed as far away from the coop or the barn as possible. So ideally over 100 meters, but also keep in mind the wind directions. So having somewhere that the wind is not going to carry the dust or particles back to the coop, it's something that's important to keep in mind. Carcasses, if you're having mortalities, though we're talking about natural mortalities, not the mortalities that you're suspecting that has contagious diseases. So carcasses, any kind of carcasses should be disposed of in a timely manner. So within 24 hours, don't keep them too long in your coop. Take them out right away. Keep it in an area or an enclosure that can minimize the access by scavengers, pets, rodents, or other wildlife. So there are a couple ways to do it. And I do recommend to make sure to check with your local municipality regulations, especially when you're burying carcasses on farms or in your residential area. Make sure to check with the right local regulations. Composting would be a very common method. I talk about burying carcasses. And another way to efficiently and safely handle carcasses would be incineration. However, I know not everyone have access to incinerator on site, but if you do have an incinerator on site, that would be a very useful and safe way to treat the carcass. In terms of manure and shavings, one thing that I want to emphasize is do not spread fresh manure on the pasture. Because manure, any kind of fresh manure, they have the potential to carry a lot of pathogens. And wildlife, rodents, pests, wind directions, water can easily bring these pathogens from the fresh manure back to your own coop or to your neighboring farms as well. So cover and store manure at least 30 days before them leaving the farm, or you spread them in on your pasture. Another way to minimize contamination in the manure and also deactivate pathogen in the manure would be composting them. They can be composted inside the barn or heat treating them by heating the barn. So general recommendation, the temperature would be at least 100 degrees Fahrenheit or 40 degrees Celsius for at least like 2 days and more if there is a severe outbreak of diseases. And don't forget about all the farm equipment or tools used to haul the manure or the carcasses. They should be properly cleaned and disinfected prior to re-entering.
So you mentioned about disposal of carcasses from a natural death versus a death from some unknown disease. If there is an outbreak of some unknown infectious disease, and we're seeing a lot of illness or death in our flock, what are the first steps that someone who's raising poultry should take?
If you're seeing unexplained increase sudden mortality in the flock, the first thing that you should really do is make sure you keep the samples. So keep the fresh mortality. The first thing I would do is to double bag and keep the carcasses and contact your local animal laboratory or your local CFIA office, and they will direct you where to submit the samples. if in the case that we're suspecting avian influenza, usually CFIA will send a team to do an investigation. So do not remove anything from the farm before you make an accurate diagnosis.
If there is an outbreak of an unknown disease in any small flock, how do we know if the chicken or the meat or the eggs can be eaten safely?
Although it is relatively rare, avian influenza viruses can cause disease in humans, especially for people who have close contact with infected birds or contaminated environment. So if you're suspecting AI, do not consume meat or eggs from the infected flock. And also remember to wear personal protective equipment, such as like masks and gloves, when contacting the infected flock and also their manure and feathers.
Certainly, I think as well, it would be a good indication to get a veterinarian involved if you are having issues with deaths from illness in your flock, because just having seen, you know, postmortems on a variety of poultry, certainly there are other food safety concerns that exist, whether it's from bacterial infections, that can be significant. So for sure, to make sure you have a veterinarian involved in helping you assess your flock, I think is really essential. We're talking about the safety of yourself and the health of your birds. Since avian influenza is such a concern right now, I wondered if there's anything else specifically that, you know, could be simple and practical and helpful to implement for these small backyard flocks right now. Anything that people can immediately and easily do to help protect their birds? Do you have any additional suggestions?
I think this is a very valuable opportunity to start reviewing your existing biosecurity protocol in your flock. So if you don't regularly wear protective personal equipment when visiting your flock, this is the time to start now. If you don't have a visitor log, if you don't monitor your flock production or your flock activity daily, this is a time to start evaluating it and implementing those system in to properly protect your flock. Stop all commingling events. For example, do not go to any shows, do not go to any live auctions, do not visit your friends that who have other avian species, and be very mindful when you're visiting high risk area. For example, feed stores, when you're going to hatcheries for purchasing, farmer markets, these are area where people have poultry can mingle and where cross-contamination can happen. So make sure upon your return, sanitize your vehicle, sanitize all the equipment, and change clothes and footwears before you go back to your own flock. And if you need to make a new purchase of birds during this time, make sure to get them from reputable sources. For example, CFIA certified hatchery, not from your friends or from anyone randomly from online sources. And it's very important, no matter where you're getting your birds from, have sufficient quarantine period before introducing the birds into the existing flock. I would recommend at least 21 days, if not even longer than 21 days.
So we have kind of focused a lot on the small backyard flock here, but what about for those medium-sized poultry production operations, say with more than 25 birds on the farm? What can we add into those setups to increase biosecurity and to minimize disease? Is there anything else in addition to what you've mentioned already that might apply more to a larger operation?
Definitely, generally, when you are having a larger farm, you're having more birds, there are more contact points, there are more movement within the farm and also between the farm and the outside environment, you are exposed to a way higher biosecurity risk. So having proper biosecurity protocol set up is extremely important. One of the most common error that I see in medium-sized or larger-sized production would be farms that have multiple flocks that are kept in separate coops, separate area. Some growers will forget about having separate sets of personal protective equipment for a separate flock. This is very dangerous. In case of a disease outbreak in a particular flock, it can be easily spread from one flock to another within the same premise. If you are sharing equipment, if you're not changing clothes, not changing footwear between the flock. So I would recommend the best way to deal with these scenario is to treat individual flock as a separate barn, as a separate premise, so that you're not sharing equipments between them, and also have proper biosecurity gear when you're entering each flock. In addition, for larger operations, there are potentially more regular visitors. For example, feed deliver truck, egg pickup truck, tray people to come in for repair. So make sure you have a cleaning and sanitation for their vehicles and also for visitors upon their entry.
And finally, I guess either for a backyard flock or for a medium-sized poultry production operation, what should we do if there is an outbreak of an unknown disease? How do we prepare the facilities safely for a new group of birds to be brought in?
Before a replacement flock is being placed in the barn or the yard area, it is very important to have an extended period of downtime. So the downtime is meaning the time between you ship out the last flock and until the time that you introduce new birds into the existing area. So the longer the downtime, the better it is. It will provide you enough time to do a thorough clean out and disinfection, and also allow enough time for the coop to dry it out before you put in the shavings. Having extended period of downtime can also allow pathogens like viruses and bacteria to deteriorate naturally in the natural environmental conditions. So I would say, especially after a disease outbreak, have at least 21 days of downtime in between flock placement would be very helpful.
And then to sum up, I was wondering, Dr. Lin, if you could tell me maybe three things that make you cringe when you walk onto a farm or a poultry premise for the first time. And a few things that make you smile, that make you quite pleased. Some of those things that you're really happy to see that a producer has in place when you walk onto a farm.
I love this question, actually. Let me think about it. I love this question because this is like a real case scenario that I can think about. So I'll start with the three things that makes me cringe. One of the most common thing that I see in my day-to-day practice is hearing clients that it's facing a disease outbreak and them telling me that they have recently bought in birds from unknown sources and not having proper quarantine time in between when bringing birds into their existing flock. This is one of the most common thing I see where a disease outbreak can happen. So that's the first one. And sometimes even though when the new birds that you're bringing in do not show any clinical signs, it doesn't mean that they cannot be a carrier of certain pathogens. So this is why it's important, even though when the new birds that you're bringing in do not show any clinical signs, it's important to have that proper quarantine period to monitor the flock between you bring into your existing flock. Another scenario would be seeing people not changing footwear upon entering their flock when they're coming back from the outside. As we discussed earlier, not changing footwear would be a potential of bringing pathogens in from outside to your existing flock. And then the third one would be if you know or suspecting that your flock has some existing disease conditioned, it is extremely important that you do not move those birds into other area or give it to other people, move it to other farms, or bringing them to another auctions to minimize like disease spread. Because I have seen cases where clients see birds that are showing diseases and they ended up selling them somewhere else, and that would just perpetuate the problem. It makes me smile
when I see clients that are very mindful about their browser security practices. For example, I have clients that even before I visit their farm or their coop, they will tell me what I will expect upon entering the farm. So what kind of protective equipment that I should bring, or which driveway I should use, or where is their designated vehicle sanitation area, that would be very helpful. Another thing that makes me smile is when clients keep a really good protection record. I have clients that will, even if they have like 10 birds, they record like approximately how much water or feed that they go through, and also day-to-day egg production. So these are some indicators that we can help to detect diseases early. Another scenario that I'm very impressed is when clients already have a quarantine area in place when they started with their coop designed, and when they start thinking about having chickens. So they already have a quarantine area that is easy to clean, that has a separate storage, and that is also far away from the existing flock. So having a plan to prepare when disease outbreak happen, or when they have sick birds, or when they're bringing in new flock, can go a very long way when it comes to disease response preparedness.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lin, for sharing these biosecurity tips with us today. I think if even a few of these practices can be put in place, they can certainly help to take some big steps towards raising healthier birds and enjoying raising healthy poultry now and in the future. For those of you who are looking for some more in-depth information on biosecurity and small flock health during this season of influenza and beyond, the Western Canadian Animal Health Network and the Canadian Animal Health Surveillance System produced quite a few resources, including an excellent webinar that features Dr. Lin, as well as some other Canadian small flock poultry health experts. Feel free to check these resources out at wecan.ca. Small flock producers are also welcome to register for the WeCan Smallholder Network for regular updates and information on small flock poultry health in Western Canada.